Today we celebrate the central event of our faith, the resurrection. It's the reason we come together every week. The gloom of Holy Week is over. Today we proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's an event that changed the history of the world. It's an event which hopefully has changed our own lives. Just like winter and the cold, Easter and springtime come every year. We know when it is and we expect it. Maybe we're so accustomed to Easter that we miss its world-shaking significance. Let's take another look at today's gospel to see if we can recapture what that first Easter was like. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark under the sepulchre. We all know who Mary Magdalene was. She was a woman whom Jesus had forgiven. She turned from her past ways and followed him. She doesn't really have a speaking role in the Gospels. She's no wooden-headed Peter constantly asking Jesus rather dense and self-centered questions. She's not an apostle. She has no role of leadership among the band of the followers of Jesus. We don't really know who she thought he was. We don't know why she followed him. Maybe she thought he was a Messiah. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she the reason she followed him was that through his kindness to her, she had found God and regained her own life. He was the one who had shown her God's love. Surely he must be sent by God, perhaps even God himself. She was probably in the crowd that watched the crucifixion of Jesus. What must have gone through her mind as she watched the man who had brought her to God's love put to death? No doubt she, like the other followers of Jesus, had great hopes and plans for Jesus. Maybe her plans didn't involve Jesus replacing a Roman emperor and rewarding all his followers with wealth and power. She'd heard the disciples talking and knew that was what some of them expected. Maybe her hopes for Jesus were of a gentler sort. Maybe she hoped that Jesus would bring God's love and forgiveness to the rest of the world, just as he'd done for her. Whatever her hopes were, they must have been shattered that Friday when she saw Jesus die on Mount Calvary, just like any other man, just like the two men who died beside him. He'd seemed to be from God. What was she to do now that the Master was dead? The apostles had all vanished. They were keeping a low profile. She didn't know what it all meant. She did know that the Master whom she had loved had died, taking with him all her hopes. She didn't know what to do. She decided to do the only thing she knew how to do, to this Jesus, the one who had shown her kindness and life when all others had rejected her, to this Jesus who now had been rejected and executed by the world and perhaps repudiated by his followers. She decided to perform the final kindness, to prepare his body for his final rest in the tomb. With this in mind, she went to the cemetery at an early hour. She didn't want to be seen doing this. She didn't want to be questioned. She knew it was dangerous and perhaps didn't make much sense, but she knew she had to do it. He'd been kind to her in life. She would be kind to him in death. It would be a final farewell. Perhaps anointing the body and wrapping it in a shroud would help her to accept that he on whom she'd pinned such hopes had died. Hers was an errand undertaken with a heavy heart. She must have approached the tomb with great sadness in her heart. She was on a mission of sorrow and duty. As she drew near to the tomb, she saw that the huge stone blocking its entrance had been removed. Shock and fear ran through her. Not content with killing her beloved master, someone had stolen his body. Her instinctive reaction was to flee to Simon Peter, the one who seemed to be the leader of the apostles. Maybe he knew what had happened. Maybe he would know what to do. Simon Peter was stunned by the news. He and John ran to the tomb. Maybe they didn't believe Mary Magdalene. Maybe they just had to see for themselves. How could things get any worse? Their master and teacher, whom they'd followed for 3 years, had been killed. They had left everything for him, only to see him executed between two thieves. Now his body had been stolen. Did things get any worse? John arrived first at the tomb. He was afraid to enter, but he couldn't resist peeking in. He could see the grave clothes lying there, but no body, no Jesus. Then Simon Peter went into the tomb. The grave clothes were in a neat bundle, but Jesus was gone. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. It took a while for it to sink in. Jesus was not dead. His body was not stolen. He was risen from the dead. Evidently, even then, it was not clear to them what that meant. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. What was their response to this strange occurrence? How did they react to one whom they'd seen die, yet they now knew was alive? Then the disciples went away again to their own home. We have a lot in common with Peter and John. We don't fully understand the resurrection. Their understanding of it was to grow every day of their lives. Hopefully ours will too. Their immediate reaction to finding the empty tomb was to go home and mind their own business. We may not fully understand the resurrection, but we know all that we need to know. We know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We know that we too shall one day rise from the dead to be with him. This is the only important thing in the world. Yet we tend to view it as some rather distant, far-off event. We will rise from the dead, but that, like the cold that will come next winter, is something in the distant future, requiring no immediate action on our part. Evidently, the Colossians, to whom St. Paul is writing in today's epistle, were not that different from us. They'd heard the good news of the resurrection. They'd heard it from witnesses to the actual event. They'd been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection just as we have been. Yet they, like we, tended to forget the world-shaking significance of the resurrection. Paul is compelled to remind them to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. It's only when we focus on God, on Jesus, the risen Lord, that we're able to lead to the fullest the life that God has intended for us. Earth has no redemption for us. Salvation is possible to us only through Jesus Christ, the vanquisher of death. That's why with today's collect, we pray to be united to the risen Lord, that as we're baptized into the death of thy blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, so by continually mortifying our corrupt affections, we may be buried with him, that through the grave we may pass to our joyful resurrection, a resurrection that we have only in him and through him. May God grant that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which you celebrate today, may shine through and deepen your life, not only today, but all the days of your life in this world and the next. Amen. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all praise, laud, honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever, world without end. Amen. Amen.